Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Friends, come see me do stand-up comedy. I'm going to be at Comedy on State in Madison, Wisconsin, July 18th, 19th, and 20th. The Helium Comedy Club in Buffalo, New York, August 8th, 9th, and 10th. Side Splitters Comedy Club, August 15th, 16th, 17th. And I'm going to be at the Wilbur, November 1st. Also, if you're in Texas, I'm going to be doing the Comedy Mothership, August 2nd through 4th. I hope to see you there. Welcome back, friends. Today, the first person I ever podcasted with is here today, Natasha Leggero. All of you people from the Lavender Hour days, we did the Lavender Hour again. It felt like old times. Also, I hope that you will go and see Natasha while she's out there on the road. All of her dates are going to be at DuncanTrussell.com or a link for you to find her. And definitely check out her hilarious podcast, Endless Honeymoon. And now, everybody, Natasha Leggero. Like, my podcast table, that I had, like, I'd moved it out of the studio to clean the studio. And then I, like, suddenly this unidentified just stench appeared in the studio and started freaking me out. I thought it was Aaron's placenta in the freezer. But it was the dogs, of course, in the time the table was out there, like, oh, we can piss on it now. And so they just pissed on it. And it was like the worst kind of stink.
Wait, this is so crazy. Are we recording?
Yes.
Because one of the things I wrote down to tell you is I was having this amazing experience with my dog today, and they were so cuddly. And I was like, wow, this is really what life is about. You know, yeah. Like really just like enjoying it. And then I was trying to work on painting something with my kid, and I had this like really valuable book laid out on the office floor over a canvas, like, you know, like all laying on the floor, and my dog fucking pissed on it.
Yeah.
She pissed on the source material, the beautiful old book.
Yeah.
She pissed on the painting. She pissed on my rug.
Yeah.
And she pissed on my drop cloth.
Yeah. Yeah. They get you. They'll get you. Like, they
don't. Is it worth it?
Is it worth it to have dogs?
Because I had that amazing feeling earlier, but if I really think about it, I'm like, you know what? I think I'll do it. Whatever one doesn't have piss in it.
I mean,
like maybe I don't need those feelings.
It's like the combination of having dogs and a child, or multiple mm-hmm. children in my case, means that you have created a chaos machine in your life. What it means is that for sure, the odds of there being any kind of peace in the house are far less than the odds of something crazy happening. You know, like, and so you have to surrender to that, unless you want to be one of those monsters who like euthanizes their dogs. When like there's people who, instead of moving with their dogs, will kill their dogs. They will take them to the vet and say, yeah, we're moving. And the vet's like, but the dog's okay? And they're like, yeah. And they'll just kill the dog. Like, there's people like that.
I know someone who did that. They were Christian.
I don't know if it's connected to Christianity, but
it's not. I just thought I would throw that in.
Christians.
Because I was like.
I'm glad you mentioned that. This is something that's really funny to me. You know me. You've known me forever.
Oh, you're a Christian now. Sorry if I offended you.
That's what I want to address. I have always loved world religions. I love Hinduism, Judaism, Christianity, Satanism, black magic, the occult, ceremonial magic. And I talk about all of them. But the only one that I ever get shit for online is Christianity. Like, I can have a Satanist on the episode glowingly talking about Satanism, not a single, maybe a couple of angry Christians, but generally just people think it's cool. Buddhists, obviously no one cares. But Christians, Christianity, if I talk about loving Jesus, or I think of the representation of that is beautiful, I get, like, Aaron showed me this comment someone left, which is like, it's her fault. It's her fault that he's become a Jesus freak. And it's like, it's so funny that of all the world religions, right now, the one you can really fucking, like, just go after is Christianity. And no one will call you a bigot. No one will, like, it's fine. It's cool. You're not supposed to talk about it. It's interesting to me, isn't it?
Yeah, but, like, you know, they do kind of have a bad name. Like, what do you think about Louisiana making the Ten Commandments outside of every public classroom a law? You know, like, that's what happens when you're, like, fervently for Jesus.
Well, no, that's the problem. It's like the people who are mad at Christianity, they haven't really even looked into it. And I don't mean, like, you need to look into it to find the Lord. I'm saying, like, before you even, like, you're right. There's a lot of representatives of all the religions that have done, like, incredibly horrific shit. But then you go and read the text itself and you realize there's nothing in there pointing people in the direct, nothing in the Gospels says go to an abortion clinic and throw a balloon filled with piss. It's someone going to get an abortion. There's nothing, like, you find the very worst crimes of so-called representatives of Christianity and then show me some scriptural reference that backs it up. I haven't been able to find that.
That's why we should update religion. Like, why aren't we updating it and making it? I mean, I believe in commandments, but, like, have you ever read the Ten Commandments? Like, they don't even really, like, make sense anymore. Like, I think we should have no murder.
Thou shalt not kill.
And no stealing, no billionaires. Those should be the only commandments. And we'd be fine.
You think that's all we need? We could break it down to...
If you're going to post something outside of every public school, it would be kind of cool if... Well, then I guess it's easier to break if there's only two rules.
Isn't the Ten Commandments Judaism?
Well, maybe, but some of them are... But I think it's the Christians who are posting it, right?
Well, no.
Everyone likes
the Jews are not telling people to put the fucking Ten Commandments in front of anywhere, but the problem is it's like... This is like in there... In one of the Gospels, Jesus is saying, like, there's many people who will, like, come to me at the end times, and I will say, and say they follow me, and I'll say, I don't know you. Like, that's in there. The whole, like, acknowledgement that the thing's going to be twisted and corrupted and taken over is in there. And Jesus, of course you should expect something great and something like that is potentially revolutionary culturally that like upends hierarchy and invites people to not use a priest class anymore to get instantaneously twisted and corrupted by a priest class. But more to the point, it's like, dude, everyone who's like, who attacks me over like talking about Jesus or Christianity and like calls me a Jesus freak has not been familiar with any of my other podcasts. Am I a Satanist? No. But do I love the idea of Lucifer? Sure. That doesn't mean I'm a Lucifer freak. It just means I recognize the beauty in it, you know?
And let me ask you this. How much does it bother you, Duncan, to read things where you feel like you're being misunderstood? Does it really bother you when you see these comments?
Not sometimes it will give me a little bit of an uneasy feeling. Mm-hmm. I guess. I mean, it's just sort of like frustrating to imagine anyone taking the time to leave a comment at all.
Exactly.
I mean,
because yeah, it's like you want that.
Yeah.
If imagine no one commented.
Right.
No.
Right.
No one cares.
It would hurt your feelings. That would be the most infuriating of them all. I mean, look, as they say in Buddhism, samsara and nirvana are intertwined. You're not going to get, if you want the good, you're going to get the bad. The two depend on each other just to exist. So you've got to, like, deal with the fact that if you're doing something for people to watch, that someone's going to misunderstand you. Yeah, but it's more interesting to me than it is frustrating. It's just interesting to me that people are comfortable attacking a religion that they don't understand at all. They will say, I was raised in a fundamentalist family and it was horrible. It's like, that's not it either. That's one sect. That's one branch, offshoot of it. But you know what I mean?
People are traumatized, you know? Like, I just did Salt Lake City, and the opener was so funny, and I loved her. And then, you know, she was talking about her Mormon family, and they don't really approve of her.
Yeah.
But she seemed like a really good person and really responsible and successful. And I was like, well, what are they afraid of? And she's like, they're afraid when I die, I'm not going to get seated at their table. And that is making them not want to talk to her in this life.
Yeah.
You know, so you can see how, like, all, like, you, it's just twisted. And so.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the reason any of these things, you're supposed to do it yourself. Like, if you like, it sucks. Like, religious abuse, psychic religious abuse is so very real and so horrific and just so, like, on so many levels. Like, just the, you know, we think of your innocent kid and how susceptible they are to anything you say, how they will believe you, and how unfair that is, that you are challenging a being's rational mind with a shitty interpretation of a bad translation of a really incredible scripture that's inviting people to love each other and to directly connect with God. Such a tragedy. And
they need better PR.
Yeah, I mean
they're bigots. Like, a lot of their, you know, there's Christianity is behind a lot of the movements that are challenging for people, like, you know, not wanting people to be gay and not wanting people to get abortions. You know, these are, like, really important to our lives.
But that's not Christianity's fault. And also, I would argue that's not even Christianity. Most people think they're Christians when they're into what's called Pauline theology, which is the epistles, everything after the Gospels, an interpretation by someone who never met Jesus. This formed the basis of, like, modern day Christianity. And within that, you will find a lot of the, like, misogynistic stuff and a lot of, like, weird shit. But I don't think that that's Jesus's fault. I think that
Jesus have been pro-abortion.
How the fuck do I know? I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, that to me, like, and maybe I'm misinterpreting it. You know, who knows? It could be a misinterpretation, but my interpretation of it is that the idea would be to visit it with the courage to not have a middleman tell you what it means, and that it, then if people became, like, real Christians, I don't know that you would see the same kind of the main thing is, like, you want to talk about the real religion in the world, it's power. It's like, you know, somebody could say that they're a Christian, someone could say they're Jewish, someone could say they're Buddhist, but if they're doing activities that support hierarchy and systems that create power imbalance, then that's their religion. That's the religion of the demiurge. That's the religion of, like, that's real Satanism. It's, you know, any kind of thing that tribalizes and invites aggression. And then I don't care what mask you put on your aggression, right? If you're still, like, if you're beating me up, but you're dressed like Barney, you're still beating me up. It's the same thing. I think that's the, if you want to talk, like, there is a, like, the conspiracy theorists, when they talk about a secret religion, they're almost hitting the mark. It's just they're saying, well, they are worshiping Moloch. It's like, no, it's power. It's a religion of power. Any whatever it is you're doing, if it's and Christianity is like, look at the final spoiler alert. The hero dies in the end. He lets them kill him. He doesn't fight back. He doesn't invite his followers to attack. He doesn't say we're going to do a riot. He lets them kill. He lets them kill him. So how the fuck does that get translated into war? How does that get translated into violence? How does that get translated into bullying? I don't know. I don't get it. Like, so to me, that's the, I think when people are critiquing Christianity, what they're really critiquing is power. They're really critiquing classism. They're really critiquing all the things that lead to the real problems, you know?
Well, I'm sorry I started you on a Christian tirade.
Praise the Lord.
I've been really enjoying your Disneyland rants, solo episode. I hope that you have another one in you.
Oh, I do. I have volumes. I could do a whole podcast just like rebuking a Christian word. rebuking those who would go to Disneyland as an adult. And I love the anger that inspired was really, really funny to me. That like so many people got so upset by that. It was completely unexpected too, man. Completely unexpected. It caught me
really. Do you like Vegas?
Yeah. Now I do in my old age. I do. But I figured out how to do Vegas. Like,
what's the secret?
Okay, so you go to, when I used to go to Vegas, you'd end up in Vegas, right? And you try to do the chaste person at an orgy. You know the people, right? Like, oh my goodness, an orgy? I will never partake in this orgy. Never. And so I would do that thing. I'm not going to gamble. You know how you win in Vegas? By not gambling. I'm not going to gamble. You know what I mean? That bullshit. And then I realized how, don't go to an orgy if you're not going to fuck. Don't go to Vegas if you're not going to just get on your knees and suck the devil's cock. You got to fucking go evil. And like, if you go to Vegas, let it seduce, corrupt you, destroy you, and then you'll have so much fun. If you go there,
but you'll lose like $5,000 at minimum.
Yeah,
you win. If you do that,
you'll win it back eventually. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, I went there to do shows, and I brought my husband and my child, and so they kind of hung out and did their own thing. And like within 2 hours of being there, my daughter was like, this guy like pulled down his pants at the pool and was showing everyone his butt, and he was just like this wasted guy. It was like 2 p.m.
Ugh.
And my daughter was like, what's wrong with him? And Moshe's like, he's drunk. And she's like, what's drunk?
Oh,
are you drunk? Am I drunk? You know? And so now she learned what drunk was just from being there like an hour. And then the other day when we got back, she was like, so women get paid to take their clothes off?
Oh, no.
And I go, what? Who said that? She goes, you said that. And I go, I did? And I guess you kept asking me, like, what is this woman doing? Because it was like strip club, like, you see it everywhere. And, you know, I'm like regretting taking her. But also one of the things I wanted to ask you is because Moshe wanted to take her to a Grateful Dead show at the Sphere. And I'm curious if you would take a 6-year-old to see the Grateful Dead.
No, I would not. And
really?
No, I mean, now it's not for like, sadly, it's for selfish reasons. It's like, I would not take a kid to Vegas. And the reason that I'm not taking a kid to Vegas is because if I'm going there, I want to become like a horrible idiot hedonist. Like, I don't want to like worry about parenting in that situation. So that's why I wouldn't do it. And similarly, if I'm taking my kid to the Grateful Dead, I don't want to deal with the inevitable like 10 or 15 minutes in, like, this is, I want to go. This is, this is bad. Why do you listen to this? I don't like this music.
Bring back Jerry.
Yeah. I mean, I love the new iteration of the Dead. I've listened to them. I think it's great, but like, I understand in my old age, loving the Grateful Dead, that the majority of people hate it. I get why. I don't even try to convince anybody anymore. It's just like, look, I listened to this when I was in high school, having a great acid trip. It clicked for me. Now I like it. It's not going to click for you. So that's why I would not bring my kid to the Grateful Dead. I would bring my kid to a Blackpink concert. I would bring my kid to Taylor Swift. I would bring my kid to like something that was like palatable and doesn't require the right dose of psychedelics to even like catch what it is. You know, like what are you doing? You're going to hurt the kid in the sense that like they're never going to ever like the Grateful Dead if you take them to a Grateful Dead concert sober, which obviously you're going to do.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to get your take on that.
I mean, I think it's noble. It could be that like, I'm just saying like I've been attacked for my musical taste by the oldest now so many times that like—
Your child?
Oh my God. He's brutal with me.
What does he want to listen to? Because my kid like only wants to listen to female pop singers that are out currently.
Yeah, he's into that. He's into that. He's into, God, what is the name? It's some, Aaron played him some DJ. What's that DJ who like died? He was really famous. You know what I'm talking about? Like Avicii. Avicii. There's some, right. He's like, he likes that. He likes Blackpink, K-pop, and he likes heavy metal. Like I introduced him to like this incredible band that you should play for your kid called Baby Metal, which is okay. K-pop meets heavy metal. And it is the funniest. It's so good, dude. They're so good, but so weird. But yeah, he likes that stuff. And it's really cool to be on the other side of the equation now where like my mother would just torment me with like John Denver and it meant so much to her. I hated it. And you could see she's having an emotional reaction to some song and that would make you hate it even more. You're like, oh God, she's getting moody now because she's listening to God, what's another one she liked? James Taylor. Oh God, she's getting moody. Here we go. So yeah, it's cool to be on the other side of that. And witness like, yeah, this sounds terrible to you, I bet. You hate
my
it.
My daughter wants Miley Cyrus, Lady Gaga. I introduced her to Beyonce, so now she likes Beyonce. But she's always like, can I hear Taylor Swift? And I'll just like play Lana Del Rey. But like, you know, and then because she can't read. But the Taylor Swift, because I don't listen to Taylor Swift. But then what Moshe was doing was he was like, you know, the algorithm picks it up and he would play songs for her and she would be like skip, skip, skip. Mm. And every time, like clockwork, if it's a Taylor Swift song, yeah, within 5 seconds, she's like, keep it, keep it. What's the song called?
Wow.
And I'm like, nothing has even happened. Like it was like 5 seconds in.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that there's something happening. And so she wants to listen to that. And yeah, I tried. Maybe it'll switch again.
It will. I mean, they change. Okay, I want to say something that might offend you and is definitely going to offend a lot of people, and I'm ready for the comments.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
So, in psychedelics, there's always a really dumb argument that springs up. The argument is, what's better, mushrooms or acid, right? And some of us think acid, some of us think mushrooms, and it's just a ridiculous conversation, a ridiculous argument. But this is the same argument regarding Taylor Swift and Lana Del Rey, which is people will, thinking that they have like are better than Swifties, will put on Lana Del Rey as some kind
Is this like a famous thing?
No, I'm telling you now that you said it because you're like, I'll try to play Lana Del Rey. Now I get it. So this is the idea. Lana Del Rey is some kind of antidote to Taylor Swift. Now, Taylor Swift is for kids. If you listen to Lana Del Rey, you are you sort of like, there's a little bit more sophisticated. Like Lana Del Rey speaks truth, whereas Taylor Swift is kind of like garbage. But I think they both suck. Oh, I'm ready. Oh, I'm ready. And I love Jesus. I think I'm allowed to say that because I admitted that I like the Grateful Dead. So anyone's opinion of my musical criticism, I know Lana Del Rey must be great, and I know Taylor Swift must be great. In the same way, like I know roses still smell like roses after I got COVID. I just can't smell it anymore. And like, you know, so yeah, but I feel like both of them are like they really annoy the shit out of me for different reasons.
Well, thank you for your candor. Yeah. I'll have to check out Baby Metal. Oh, what about Kids Bop? Because like she'll want to hear like they're like the sanitized versions of all the songs. And yeah, I just feel like I think we can just like not do it. Like if they want to request songs, like at what age? You can't keep doing that, huh?
Keep doing what?
Just say, no, I'm in charge of music.
No, you can't do that. You could try. They control the Alexa. It was all downhill after they figured out they could talk to the Alexa. Like, I'll be in the middle of, like, listening to, like, I don't know, David Bowie and some, like, sad hope that they're going to like David Bowie. And, like, 30 seconds in, you know, play Taylor Swift. Alexa, play Taylor Swift, which Erin loves because she likes Taylor Swift. It's inescapable. Like, if you have kids, you're just going to have to deal with, like, whatever pop music is. Like, you're going to have to revisit it and listen to it and deal with it.
I guess I appreciate Moshe's 50s dad style because he's like, you are not allowed to change the Alexa.
You know, I appreciate that, too. I think that's, like, there's so many things that you tell me about him that's freaking cool. And, like, the Grateful Dead aspiration is, like, beyond cool. It's heroic. Like
I think it's irresponsible, and it's because he's not thinking it through. Because it's overstimulation. It's like you're supposed to go on acid. Like everything else will pale in comparison. Like is that the first? I mean, it probably would have affected her brain in some way. Like the sphere is like a sound bath. It's right. Like a visual. Like it, you know, it's like has all these different shapes, and there's a different visual on every single turn. Like
yes.
It would probably like be overstimulation. It's like same reason I don't want to give her VR goggles.
Yeah, we don't do VR goggles with the kids. No way. Like I agree with you. I mean, I do think you're right. It's like we just aren't there yet. We haven't figured out technology is as much a drug as any other drug. And like, you know, just because you're not injecting it or snorting it or whatever doesn't mean it's not a drug. And the sphere sounds like a drug, which is why it's so funny to me, Natasha, that the movie, like if you for whatever reason can't get tickets to a concert there, they show a movie there. They show a movie at the Sphere. Do you know about this?
No.
There's some kind of movie you can watch that is about climate change. So like in Vegas, it's
weird.
In Vegas at the Sphere, which is clearly just designed for when you're hyper blasted to go there and freak out. They chose a movie about climate change in Vegas at the Sphere. It's one of the most insane mistakes.
Isn't that good?
No, it's Vegas. No,
but is it information that people need? So they're kind of forcing it down people's throats.
No one's buying tickets to that shit. You think they're selling tickets in Vegas when you have like all? It's like, all right, what do we want to go freak out at the Sphere or go to a strip club? Oh, there's a movie there. Cool. What is it? Inconvenient Truth 2. It's like no one in Vegas wants to be have some corrective climate change movie. It's so confusing to me is all. I mean, it's confusing. Like, read the room, man. Like, you should be showing Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I don't need anything other than, you know what I mean? It's Vegas. Like, think of how much energy is being used to destroy people's lives there who are like sacrificing themselves on this awful demonic altar of decadence. And it's like, no one's going to be like, yeah, you know what? I want to take a break from drinking like massive fruit drinks and blowing my retirement on Frankenstein slot machines to go learn about the Earth's imminent demise. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, also it's like doesn't even feel like true hedonism to me. It's like you're in the smoke-filled room. You can't go outside because it's 110. It's like, what is this joy? And then you go to like a Parisian cafe that overlooks a Balenciaga store at a mall. Like you're not even outside. It's so dumb. The pool, unless you rent a cabana for like $500, you're in the blazing sun. They don't even have umbrellas. Like it's just like so dumb.
Oh.
The whole place is like absurd.
It is. I'm telling you, it is truly like a demonic city. Like, and once you realize that, once you realize, like, if you go there, you're taking part in a demonic ceremony. You are supporting a machine that destroys people's lives. Don't, like, even any interaction with it at all is to interact with, you know, the oblivion. And once you realize that and go there and oh, yes.
Interact with oblivion.
Yeah, it's oblivion. It's everything back. Late stage capitalism. It's this synthetic, horrific overlay. It's everything is fake, double fake. There, you know, like they say in like the idea is like the universe that we're in is controlled by the demiurge. The demiurge is the antithesis of the creator. God creates one beautiful real universe. The demiurge gets butthurt and jealous and is like, I could do a universe, mimics what God made, and then populates it with souls that are trapped in what they think is real reality. That's Gnosticism. That's Vegas. Vegas is like, oh, we don't need the Eiffel Tower. We'll just fucking make a shitty Eiffel Tower. Oh, we don't need the pyramids. Let's build a shitty fucking pyramid and put Budweiser signs on the outside of it. So it's like it's a tertiary simulation of it's a simulation of a simulation. And somewhere in there, that's where it gets absurd. That's why I like it, because it's such a terrible, bad simulation. You just have to surrender. The next time you're there, don't fight it.
Well, I have to say, he did take her to two circuses.
That's cool.
And there's like some cool, you know, particle ink at one of the hotels was like a kid laser exhibit. And then he also took her to the new Meow Wolf outside, you know, like a little bit off the strip. That's like this interactive, cool museum.
That place is cool.
There are things to do for kids. But yes, you're right. And I had great shows at Wise Guys. And
yes.
I highly recommend.
Great. Which one did you do?
I did the one at Town Square.
That's the bigger one, right?
I don't know.
Okay.
It was fun.
Let me ask you this. I wanted to talk with you about.
Yes, and then I have a question for you.
Okay. You know, like, I think there's a lot of great comics right now, and a lot of great comedy is happening.
Are you going to set me up to talk shit about somebody?
Nope. That thing that you did at the improv where you took your shirt off. That was so punk rock. And like it was amazing to me. I just think about it sometimes. Like, number one, how brave that was. Number two, how there was a lot of like really funny commentary in it too. Like it was satirical and pointing something out that's super funny, and how like it was just so unique. You know what I mean? In comedy, like it's cool to see.
Well, it wasn't that unique. I was following Bert Kreischer. But yeah, usually.
Right. But that's the, like, if you're going to follow Bert Kreischer, that is really just such a hilarious and scary and funny choice to make. What was it like looking down at the audience, like as you were doing that? Like, I don't know of any comedian performing topless at the improv ever.
I think Tig, when she had her breast, she had like her surgery. I think she did.
I didn't know
and
that.
And someone else. But anyway, Bert. Oh, I was following him at the improv, and he took his shirt off for like a 10-minute set. Yeah. And then I got on stage and I'm like, why does this audience suck? And I'm like, oh, because Bert took his shirt off. Because I mean, Bert's also like, he's a killer. So yeah, it's like hard to follow him anyway. But yeah, like definitely taking the shirt off gives you something. And then I was following him in the next show and I was like, maybe I should. And I looked at my outfit and I was like, I am wearing overalls. Like I could just like throw them off. And then like I went and asked the DJ, I was like, can you bring me up to the same thing that, you know, the same so song great. That you bring Bert up to? And then I was like, I think I'm going to do it. And then I asked Moshe, I was like, would you be annoyed if I did that? And he was like, no, have fun or whatever. So, and then I took off my shirt. Oh, because I also wasn't wearing a bra because I had overalls on. So it was just kind of an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
And then when I took off my shirt, because I hadn't really thought it through.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, there was just a sea of men holding their iPhones up. And like, I immediately regretted it, or at least was like, did not think of that. And I was like, oh, I just want to get off stage. So I like did like a little bit of material and then got off.
So well, look, it was daring. I mean, that.
I just got into a mood. You know what it was too? Like I was like, okay, I'm not going to drink for a month. And so I think like I was just kind of like really lucid, you know, and just kind of like, whatever, you know, like if I had like had a glass of wine or something, maybe I would have felt more like, okay, yeah, don't do that.
So you were exactly in the right place. I mean, you somehow,
right,
that part of your mind just wasn't on. So like that censoring thing that like keeps people from taking those kinds of risks, it just wasn't there. And wow. Oh,
interesting. I wonder if it's because I was like not drinking or something.
Probably. I mean, definitely like drinking doesn't help stand up. I don't think it does. I mean,
it can help, I think, if you're nervous, or it can help, like, you know, make you feel slightly loose. But I do, I mean, first of all, we have such a weird profession. Like,
so weird.
You're like sitting in your office, essentially, the green room before you go on stage, and like 3 to 4 people ask you if you want some alcohol, and then right, like there's already alcohol stocked, and if you have a rider that wants yeah to have I mean, it's just like, it's a very, you know, they're definitely pushing it on you. They're pushing it on the people
right
that are coming to see you.
Yep.
And so it's I can imagine it's very hard to be sober in this industry, but also, you know, it is weird that we're like, you know, given so many opportunities to drink. Oh, but I do think like one glass of wine can be good. But I do find if I have like 2, your timing immediately like is just, even if it's off just like a half second,
right,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
You start to not have as much fun as you could have, I think.
And that's why you need another drink, so that you get so drunk you don't realize your timing is off and you don't care. That's the.
Also, this is just my tolerance. Like you might be able to have, you know, a different tolerance.
I know for sure that like performances in general, that kind of performance, it's just going to be, I mean, I can't remember who said it to me, but they're like, what other job are you encouraged to drink at? You know, it's so strange, of all the jobs, like that is the one where it's completely acceptable to drink. It just, yeah, I mean, that's the problem with any kind of like habituation to substances. Is you, if you don't take breaks, you won't have moments like that. And you'll never know whether or not that was because you were sober or what. But I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I guess it sounds weird because I would think if I was sober, my censoring mind might be more in charge. That if I was like drinking, I might be more likely to take a risk like that. But maybe that's not the case at all.
Well, also, maybe I'm just, you know, I just know myself, and if I had had like a glass of wine or something, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's probably a bad idea. You're probably like not thinking straight or something.
But wow, that was it rippled too. Like it got everywhere. Like it blew people's minds that you did that. I mean, that's shows you did something right.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I was definitely scared that people would start heckling me at my shows, like telling me to
take your shirt off.
But I haven't gotten one of those, so I'm kind of proud.
That's
that means
great.
I'm in control. Like, I do remember the old days of comedy. Like, I definitely have gotten heckled before, you know?
Yeah, all of us have.
Like, I remember performing in, where's the gambling? Atlantic City. And some guy some guy gets up. He's like, wrap it up, sweetheart.
Oh.
Like when I had just started comedy, you know, like that. Because you, and also you're new. So like you're taking off your guard. So it's not like you're going to like be able to eviscerate. I mean, I don't know how new comics do it now. They're always posting crowd work clips where they can like, you know, I've never been like someone who wants to dominate the crowd. Like I just kind of want to. I want to dominate in my own way, but
yeah, I don't. I've never like the most of the genre of like comedian destroys audience member. I never really like it. Like it just makes me feel kind of uncomfortable. Usually watching it, like I get why people do it. They feel like they are victorious or something. But yeah, that's a whole genre of like comedians attacking others. I just think if you start posting that, you're encouraging your audience to heckle. Like they start thinking that that's what you want. It's going to get them attention. You know, so many hecklers, there's a whole subset of hecklers where it just feels like people who just can't bear the fact that they're not getting attention for an hour. Like it's hurting them somehow, or they can't do it. You know, and so
when I get heckled, though, I want to end my show.
You do.
I don't like. By the way, it doesn't happen anymore, thank God. But it definitely, like, you know, it happens. I remember once I was playing at Caroline's, and my opening line was something about like AIDS. It was like I had an AIDS joke, like, you know, what's worse, waiting in line at the DMV or finding out you have AIDS or something. Like, I don't know. I probably wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that joke now. And it was my first joke, and this woman stands up. She's like, her brother died of AIDS. And I was like, I'm sorry.
My God.
And then they left, and then I still had to do 40 minutes. You know, like, that's not fun. You don't want to hurt people's feelings, you know. So.
That's a delicate one, yeah, because, like to address that form of heckle, it's a lot of hard choices. Like you either have to do like some kind of apology, even though inside you're probably like pissed, or you have to like attack the person whose brother died of AIDS. That's not going to go over with the audience very well. No one's going to be like, it wasn't just AIDS that hurt you. This comedian got you too. They're not going to like that. So it's like, that's a tough heckle to deal with. But,
But yes, no one heckled me. Take your clothes off. So I was happy about that. And no plans to ever do that again. Or not. I don't know. Maybe I will. Who knows?
Yeah. I think, look, you should always be doing stuff like that. I mean, that's one of the things I've always loved about your comedy is like you do inevitably get yourself in trouble. You know, it was good.
Oh, well, this is why I got mad is because the improv, they were like, you can't post that video. It ended up like someone else posted it, but they were like, you can't post it. And I said, why? And they were like, we could get our liquor license taken away. And I was like, well, Bert does it every night. And they're like, yeah, it's like, unfortunately, that's the law, you know? So that kind of pissed me off.
Well, that's where the joke got into political commentary. That's where it became a political joke. I mean, this is one of the craziest realities that everyone just accepts. Is that somehow there's like legislation where if you are a guy, you can take your shirt off, but women can't. That's always been something that seemed just so strange to me.
And our tits actually do something. Like we actually fed you with our tits.
Exactly. And most people would rather look at your tits. You know, like no one's like no one's into like, no one gives a fuck if I take my shirt off. It's like but the fact that it creates such a reverberation, the fact that the club is like, no, we can't do that. We could hurt our business. The fact that
it's the law. They were just obeying the law.
Oh, you exactly.
Because I think you can't serve alcohol and have women's nipples showing or else it will incite violence or something, I guess probably is all boiled down to
incite violence.
Or I'm just saying that because you know men get so horny. I'm assuming that's what the law's for. If you can't have alcohol and nipples under one establishment, unless you have like a certain permit.
I don't know. I would be interested. I'm sure it's an old law. It's got to be. It's amazing to me that There are people who will get offended by breastfeeding mothers in public, that if you breastfeed your baby, that upsets people. I mean, that is so crazy to me. Everyone likes to think we're so advanced and sophisticated. But what kind of repressed fucking society are we in that, like, the thing that has kept humanity alive when they're babies is something that will upset people in public? That is so crazy, right? That's a weird aspect of our society. It just shows, like, we're still very primitive. Like, we're still very, very, very superstitious and spooked and, like, out of our minds.
I'll tell you what would cure it all.
What, nuclear war?
Nope.
What?
Matriarchy, baby.
Shit, that's not going to fix anything. Are you kidding
me? You don't think women would pass better laws?
No, absolutely not.
You think women, if they were in charge and reigned, that they would just get into the same situation?
You're already using the wrong language for it. Reigned? See, that's the beginning of the matriarchy. At least you're admitting it's a reign now. Not a presidency, motherfucker. I'm reigning.
You don't think that men reign?
No, well, no, I think men reign. It's just like this is the thing, because you, as a matriarch, you don't have any experience. Men have tried.
Look, you're already mansplaining to me about my matriarchy.
Well, I don't want to be rained on. Look, the thing is, you just have to change the language a little bit. This is the problem. It's just power. No, whenever, it doesn't matter the gender of the person. The problem is power. It's like, no, I don't want women to be in charge. I don't want men to be in charge.
Well, men are in charge, and this is where we've ended up. I mean, how many of the top 5 billionaires fighting to be the first trillionaire are men? All of them, 100%.
And yes, you're right. Yeah. And why did they become billionaires and trillionaires?
Why?
Because the male brain. I'm just kidding. Oh, under here.
Well, women have different. They give life, so maybe they just naturally have more compassion and empathy because they give birth to life and they feed life. So, you know, they don't have testosterone flowing through at the same amounts that men have. They're not like prone to exhibit or display or compete. They're like up with their upper body strength and, like, you know, like whatever that bruteness is. Like, I don't mean to be so gendered, I guess.
What? Dude, I don't care.
I just think women would be better.
Of course
I feel
you
like
do.
Women. But, like, how many times do, like, women, if they're women are negotiating, I don't know. It just seems like it would obviously be better.
Well, I couldn't disagree with you more. I don't know if it would be worse, but it wouldn't be better. And maybe there would be a few, like, years where things seem like, oh my God, we should always let women run things. But I don't think the issue is the psychology, but the issue is the system is designed to elevate narcissists. Like the White House is a narcissist.
Right, there's plenty of female narcissists.
Right, and so yeah, the system to become
very good point, Duncan.
Yeah, we summon narcissists. Like, it's like it's a narcissist trap. Washington D.C.
We summon narcissists.
If you had like narcissists in the walls, you know how you'd get them out. You'd like tell them that they could control everything, and then they would come out of the walls. This is what D.C. is. It's just like, you know, it's the personality type that you have to get to the point of being a politician successfully. A lot of the time, there's not very positive personality traits. You have to be comfortable with
the line. I can't believe that you are right about this. However, what about women just also being in, you have a man's brain. I know it is superior. What about women just, let's say, okay, politics is still like narcissistic women, but maybe like women just, you know, just generally being in charge of like the family unit or the one that had the last word. You know, just like a natural, like men just naturally submitted to us a little bit more.
Oh.
I think the world might be better.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, that's, again, This is the language of the patriarchy you're using. Submission, like all of this stuff. It's the same. It's
well, you blasted my argument, so now I'm just kind of like spitballing.
Maybe you're right. I mean, I don't know. I do think like there's something to be said for anarchism, not in the like on write the symbol on your skateboard way, but anarchism in the sense of recognizing that sometimes that there doesn't need to be one person in charge all the time, that a really advanced system would understand that the person who needs to be in charge at any given moment is the one who's good at whatever is happening, the best at that thing. Not, you know what I mean? Like this idea that a president is going to be able to handle all the problems is so insane. They're not going to be good at everything. No one is. So our system's all fucked up because this person is installed for 4 years who's going to deal with God knows how many weird fucking problems, and they're not going to be good at all of them. That just doesn't work. So should women be completely in charge? Sometimes, absolutely. Sometimes Aaron needs to be in charge for sure. When I'm like addicted to Elden Ring and she knows we're going on vacation and I need to fucking work, it's good. I need someone to be like, Duncan, you got to stop, man. You got to stop. You know, but and it's.
I think Aaron probably can run a pretty tight ship. She's very capable.
Yeah, but you know,
I'd like her to run my life. Every time I talk to her, I'm like, yeah, I get pumped to do stand up. She's very encouraging.
Oh, she loves you. But that's I think so. I just don't think anyone needs to be in charge all the time. I think we need to figure out a way to let some people be in charge some of the time. I don't know how you do that because I'm a comedian. I'm not a mathematician. I'm not going to invent a political system, but.
But you can't deny the sexism that exists with like trying to control women's bodies. I mean, that I do feel if there was more women in you know making the decisions and the laws, that wouldn't be the case.
This is why I brought up that gag that you did, is because that's the commentary that I saw is like brilliant and so simple and so like you didn't really even have to say anything. It's just the ripples it produced are indicative of just what you're talking about. And again, it's like the thing you're talking about was baked into the system before most men living today were born. And it has its roots in madness. So yeah, totally. Absolutely. Woven into any modern day system of governance is something that has its roots in a time when no one even imagine giving a woman power. And we call that the good old days. And then what happened? What was your question for me?
Oh, well, you know, you are one of the smarter people I know.
Thank you.
And, you know, you just took down my entire argument for the matriarchy, which I still am.
How about temporary matriarchy? Let's figure out a way to take down the patriarchy and take down the all archies and find a way to create some more collaborative temporary system of experimenting with power that allows all kinds of groups to be in control here and there. And let's try that. It'll never fucking happen because most people, when they get power, don't want to get rid of it. That's the problem. But, you know, I get what you're saying. I didn't dismantle. It's a utopian vision you have. You have a utopian vision that's very American of you. You have a vision of some utopia where things would be better. I think it's great. Look, I'm up for it.
Maybe family units. Maybe it's like getting away from the nuclear family. Maybe it's like women living together in villages and the men just have to kind of like help us when we need it. You know, almost like a task rabbit or something.
Communism now. You're talking about communism. Dismantle the nuclear family. Give them, you know. It could just be that we live in a flawed reality that anybody who assumes the role of leadership is going to inevitably be warped by the responsibility, and that there's no way to fix it other than just like, I don't know, leave the planet. I just did a podcast with a scientist saying we got to get off the planet.
Okay, well, that kind of has to do with my question. So, first of all, what are the chances that we are like headed towards like complete chaos, like at the end of the year? And also, what should we do until then?
Are you talking about the elections?
Yeah, like is because now we know it can happen. Like, you know, like what do we do now to prepare ourselves? Or do you think everything's going to be fine?
Don't let the state infiltrate your fucking consciousness. That's what you do. Recognize that if you are too caught up in the melodrama of the United States government,
disconnect a little bit from it more than we did before.
If it's making you sick, stop doing it. Like you can't, this is always like, I think back to every single election cycle and how absolutely vile everything is in the lead up to the election. It's always like this. The fervor, the different forms of aggression coming out of everywhere, everyone trumpeting all kinds of aggression, whether it's from the left.
A lot of men doing that, huh?
A lot of men and women, everyone. There's all these, like, it's like government nerds, basically. Like, it's these people who've gotten their identity so wrapped up in the U.S. government that they depend on an alignment of the state to feel safe. Mm. And that is just, to me, like an incredible distortion in the sense
it's horse pucky.
That's the word I was going for. It's horse pucky. It's horse pucky because you're not safe. No matter who's in charge, you're not fucking safe. So, like, it doesn't matter. Like, you especially.
You're saying if someone tells you you're safe or you think you're safe, you're still not safe. So it doesn't really matter.
Not in L.A. How long does it take the cops to get anywhere in L.A.? I've heard that you call 911 and you have to leave a message now. I've heard they want to send drones to your house instead of cops. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's like one of the great illusions people live under is that if they got a home invader, they could call the cops and the cops would come right away. It's like, you're not safe. That's not going to happen. Or how many times have you been in a place where like chaos broke out and it's like, you're not safe there. No one's coming to save you. And the whole fallacy of freaking out over who's going to be president is based on this notion of, I need to be saved. I need the state to protect me. I need the state to keep me safe. Didn't keep you safe in the pandemic. Didn't stop the pandemic. Didn't save all those people who fucking died of COVID. They weren't able to shut the borders down fast enough. They could have, but they didn't. So it's like the state moves slow and makes mistakes. It doesn't matter. And I might sound like a nihilist here, but it truly doesn't matter. And like, you could be president, Natasha. I would vote for you in a second.
No interest.
That's because you're smart.
I barely want to be a stand-up.
Come on. Are you joking? Do you really not want to be a stand-up?
I do feel a strong urge to recede into the ether, though.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I just want to disappear for like 2 years.
You can't anymore. The urge to recede. Oh my God, I feel it all the time. That would be so nice just to melt into just to sort of like gradually fade away into obscurity and just blink out. But you can't now. You have kids. You got to keep it moving. You got to keep selling those tickets. You got to keep doing it.
All right. Well, come see me on tour. My dates are on my Instagram.
Wait, what's your next date? What's your next date?
I'm not exactly sure, but I'm going to some really cool places. I think I'm going to Boston. I'd have to look. Providence.
Everybody.
Places that sound nice to me.
Natasha Leggero is one of the best comics out there. Definitely go see her perform. She's incredible. And I'm so lucky that you came on the show. Thank you so much, Natasha, for giving me your time. I really appreciate it. Yeah, listen, I will submit to your reign if you become the matriarch of this. I will die for you. I will fight in wars for you, but it's got to be you. No, nobody else. You have to be whatever the top matriarch is, the matriarch of matriarchs. Then maybe we've got a chance, but otherwise we're fucked. Can't believe you're voting for Trump. That's the last thing I expected.
Stop it!
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
That was Natasha Leggero, everybody. Check out her podcast, The Endless Honeymoon. Go see her out there on the road. Thank you guys for watching or listening. I'll see you next week.